known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, written, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshy tables of the heart. Paul says, do we need some kind of letter of commendation? A referee? Norm asked me if I'd write a letter of commendation, or, you know, reference letter to go get a job. And I was so glad to do that. But you get right down to the nitty-gritty. Reference letters aren't used very much, really. They're not, we don't depend on them. Because you take one school teacher going from one district to another, she has a beautiful reference, several letters. But the schoolmaster or the hiring supervisor, he would really like to talk on the phone to her previous employer because they're in the same fraternity. And so he gets him on the phone and he said, hey, Joe, just off the cup, Miss Johnson is coming over to us. I have a reference here before me, but any word? Well, he comes out with it because they got a deal straight. He said, well, she's a beautiful teacher, actually, a wonderful person, and she really teaches, but she has a rough time getting along with her fellow teachers, or something that would help, because they deal this way. When you're in employing business, you don't always depend upon that beautiful writing. It's been that way down through the ages, and so it was in Paul's time. He says, do you want us to get some documented papers and carry around to tell you what good Joes we are? We can do it, boy. We can get some wonderful papers, you know. I like one of the fellows one time, he wanted me to give him a character reference, so I testified that he was a character. For as much as, in verse 3, as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshy tables of the heart. Paul said, you people, you very people, you are the outflow of my life. He says, when people read your lives, they read my ministry. And they read what the Spirit of God has done through me. And that's living, living letters. You and I are living letters. You know that? We're living letters. Not written by Dr. Taylor, but written by the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 4, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And I want to bring out two points here. One of them is our responsibility, and the other is God's responsibility. And you probably know this has been going down through theology ever since at least Jesus' time, maybe long before. But there is a work that the Holy Spirit of God does in our hearts. There's a work that God does. Not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The letter killeth. You can try so hard, I can try so hard, it'll kill us. But the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death written and engraved in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. You remember when Moses in Exodus 34:29, Moses had gone up on the mountain and he'd gotten the information from God. He had written it on tables of stone. And in the presence of God, that fellowship, that glory that was on God's face was on Moses' face, and his face shone, not shone like my face, but, you know, shone because of the glory of God. And the people couldn't look at him. Verse 8, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of the condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of the righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious hath no glory in this respect by the reason of the glory that excelleth. By the way, this reads so awkwardly in the King James, by the time you meditate through it and find out what it really does mean, you've done a beautiful Bible study. So I have the living here as well as the original. See then that ye have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Verse 13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil upon their heart, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We had a speaker some months ago, Reverend Miller, a veteran missionary, and he took part of this passage, and he shared it with us. And it's interesting there in verse 13, since we know in the living that this new glory will never go away, we can preach with great boldness and not as Moses did, who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites could not see the glory fade away. At first, in the presence of God, he put a veil over his face because the light was shining so brightly that the people couldn't stand to be in his presence. Secondly, he kept the veil. Why? Someone answer me. So they couldn't see the glory fade away. I didn't know that. See, they could have watched Moses and watched the glory fade away. He didn't want to see him fade away, so he kept the veil on, so they didn't know if his face was shining or not. Paul said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about the glory? We have this new glory. What are we going to do? Is that glory going to fade away? He said, doesn't have to. Verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Beholding, we're changed. Beholding, we're changed. Beholding, we're changed. Let's say that together three times. Ready? Beholding, we're changed. Beholding, we're changed. Beholding, we're changed. Beholding Him. You know, we sometimes exercise quite a bit of liberty. And we say, we're Christians. We're living under grace. We don't have that Old Testament, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And you heard of stories of 60 years ago and 100 years ago where you, thou shalt not. And down in New Zealand, there's a lot of thou shalt nots. One of the fellows that is one of our disciple makers, a top man, he asked me this question one day. He said, John, what do you think, you know, after church, on the way home, stopping and getting the kids ice cream cones? Is that a sin? How do you like that for a deep theological question? Yeah. Well, it was a problem to him, after all, buying things on Sunday and remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy and so on. Well, it was a real problem, you know. A real evangelist. A real disciple maker. But here he didn't have the liberty to buy an ice cream cone on the way home. Surely he wouldn't go out for dinner. No, oh no, hard as no. Well, but he had two little kiddies, and they wanted ice cream, and wanted, you see? We say, you know, we got liberty. Boy, isn't it wonderful not to be bound like that? Oh boy, it is. Wonderful not to be bound. We have liberty. We're not bound. That's not what he's talking about. Whether or not you have liberty to buy an ice cream cone, or have liberty to do this, or go here, or go there, or eat this, or eat that. Listen, listen. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He's talking about liberty of the Spirit. Liberty on the inside. So many of us, we have liberty to do the things that we do, although they're borderline, yet down deep in our souls, where we really live, tonight when we lay down, just before we doze off, we're lacking that liberty of the Spirit. We're not free. We're not saying, Jesus, come tonight. Please come tonight. Because I want you to come tonight. Because we're lacking the liberty of the Spirit. That's what he's talking about, liberty of the Spirit. And a lot of these little liberties that we take will rob us from the liberty of the Spirit. I won't even eat ice cream on Sunday if you'll give me the liberty of the Spirit. It won't have nothing to do with it, really, but, you know. Am I getting through? Am I? Not quite. Too much? I want that liberty. I want that freedom. I really want to be changed. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, 16. I'll read it for you. For which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. People say, John, you don't look a day older than you did when you left. Well, you read a certain place where you don't look any older, really. You know, I thought I'd lost one hair, but actually it was just broken off. But I'm younger than I was when I left, gang. I really am. Because day by day, the Holy Spirit of God has renewed my spirit. Not that we're sufficient of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. For our light affliction, 2 Corinthians 4:16, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I was sharing with some of the old friends this week. I think if I have made one mistake more than I shouldn't have made, and I wish I hadn't made it, and it's been the most useless mistake I think I've made, is the fact that I have worried and been concerned about the wrong things. The things that bothered me were light afflictions. I should have been worried about heavy afflictions. It's light afflictions. It's little things that's going to pass away with the using. So let me encourage you. What bothers you? Be sure that it's worth bothering you. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. But the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Ephesians 3:16, someone quoted. Galatians, Ephesians, ready? Philippians 3:16. You don't know that, huh? I bet you do. When I start, you will. To be strengthened with might. Can you finish it? By His Spirit in the inner man. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit with the inner man. Well, I saw myself in somewhat of a predicament shortly before I left. And I was over in Oklahoma. And I was fellowshipping with some fellas, business fellas, businessmen, and they had lots of business and dealing with much, much money. And we were doing a bit of recreation, and one of them took his verses out, great big pack of dog-eared verses with rubber band around them, and he told his mate, he said, look, check me on my verse, will you? And so as we were roaring down in the big car, going bird shooting, he began to click off his verses, dozen after dozen, dozen after dozen verses, as the hours rolled by as we were speeding down the interstate. And then his mate said, look, you check me. So he was checking him. These men were multimillionaires doing business. Here I was in the back seat with my sin, full-time Christian worker, end of quote. Minister, preacher, having a rough time with my verses. Little thing like that challenged me. So I thought, you know, by God's grace, I'm going to take care of that in my life. And that one little decision really, really has refurbished my whole spiritual outlook. So I started on my memory work. I've been trying to memorize scripture for, about that long. Some little bit now. I don't know how many verses I have or cards I have in my back, in my boxes. But I started a little program of taking my memory work and using the same tactics that I did on the topical memory course. I had the privilege of sitting in with Bob Hopkins when he was writing the new memory course. And so these principles were fresh in my mind. So I started the same principles. So I took books of the Bible where I had verses, like Galatians, Ephesians and Colossians and 1 and 2 Peter and so on. And I went through chapter by chapter, and I copied out, at least my wife and secretary did, all my verses again. And I decided, are these the verses that I want in James 1, James 2, James 3, James 4, James 5? Right now. Not for the rest of my life, but right now. Are these the verses I want right now? So I decided, yes, these are the verses I want right now. So I had them copy them out. And then I started memorizing or rememorizing or checking out on James 1. James 1, I know 2 through 8. My old mate Bob over there typed that out for me a number of years ago in the Phillips. And I know James 1, 12, James 1, 15, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 25, and 27. So I copied those out. James 2, I only know James 2, 10, James 14, 17, 19, 21, 23. And so on. Then when I met man-to-man with fellas, I would check out all my verses just like you do the topical memory course. In due course of time, I would check out on my whole book. Like memorizing, 25 odd years, you got about, 30, 40, 50 verses in most of the books. So I would check out on those just like you do the topical memory course. Word perfect. Then I would go to the next book with the same procedure, reviewing my previous book. And I time myself with the second hand, and I find if you know flat out, flat stick, your verses, you can review about 50 verses in 8 minutes. So I gave myself 10 minutes because I like to preach the odd sermon, And therefore, I began to step up my memory work for these last 4 years. Now, I want to share with you some scripture. I want you to listen to this scripture because this is the word of God. In Psalm 119, this is God's word. Psalm 119, 9 and 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. All right? Fellow needs to clean up his life. What's he going to do? Somebody tell me. Yeah. All right. 119:18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. What is that? What is that? It's a prayer. And what is the prayer translated? Aye? What is the prayer translated in other words? Open your words of understanding. Right. Psalm 119:32. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou hast enlarged mine heart. What is that? Right? Yes. Yes, and it's kind of a prayer and obedience. It's kind of a balance, an answer to prayer. See? 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. What is that? Right? Yeah, eternal value, or a statement, or a confidence verse, isn't it? 97 and 98. Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hath made me wiser than mine adversaries. What is that? It's a prayer, it's a fellowship. Oh, how love I thy law. 119, 105, you know that one, quote it. As a little louder. Boom it out. Come on. Right. 130. Boom it out. The entrance. Go ahead. A little louder. Yeah, you don't know the rest of that. That's real good. It gives understanding to the simple. The entrance of thy word gives thy... Listen, listen now. Listen, listen. This is God's word. He said, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. 119:148, the psalmist said, mine eyes prevent the night watches. Or when I wake up at night, I try not to go to sleep again. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I may meditate upon thy word. When I wake up, I don't fuss about waking up. I just try to stay awake so I can think about Jesus and think about the word and meditate on God, 148. 119:155, salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. So it's a spur on witnessing. The reason these people are lost, they couldn't care less about the statutes of God. 119:164, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. 165, you know that one? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So as I meditate on the scriptures and go over my verses in my heart and go over quantities of verses, beholding we're changed. Beholding we're changed. Beholding we're changed. It's that liberty of the Spirit that I want. Paul says, I want the liberty of the Spirit. I don't want to eat meat if I shouldn't eat meat, or eat meat sacrificed to idols. I want to be free on the inside. I want to be washed. I want to have that continuing flow. And the scripture says the way we get it is by the word of God. And the practical way we get it is a practical approach to intake of the scriptures. And the outflow of blessing, of course, has been the fellows and gals that God has given us. We don't have all that many. We have a few, a dozen or so hardcores, and about, 20, 25 next category. We're working basically in my little town with about 50 disciples, our basic workforce. But I couldn't be more thrilled with every one of them. I'm only working with one man that can't quote 90-95% of all the verses he ever learned. How you like that? He said, how do you do that? Simple. Very simple, really. When you get together, just say, hey, mate, could you check me on these? I'm working on Hebrews. You're having a little trouble, really. Could you check me on my verses, see? So when I get together man to man, we have a quota of verses. And we're heavy on memorizing scripture right now. Been this way for 3 years. And when we get together, it's with prearranged. So we say, I start off with the guy on the TMS and so on. But then when we get up to where he's through the TMS, then when we get together, if not every time, every other time, I'm doing a lot of fortnightly man-to-man, every 2 weeks, you know. I'm learning that I'd rather have an evening every 2 weeks than just a pat on the back once in a while. And when we get together, particularly, he's up, 2 years old now, 3 years old in the Lord, see, and maybe older than that, but he's really coming. And so we quote our last 50. And I find that the fellas have about the standard I do. In fact, there's a lot of them now that's beginning to ease ahead of me, and I'm the one that's trying to catch up. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and their life. If I could encourage you as staff members, trainees, fellows and gals, I would encourage you with a challenge that Doss gave us on his 40th birthday. He says, gang, hit it hard when you're young. Hit it hard. He says, even at 40. He says, I'm beginning to tell a bit of difference. I don't have it just like I had it years ago. Well, I've long since passed 40, but I can testify even at 54. I don't quite have it like I had it, you know. Do you want to be like him? If you want to be like him, you have to trust him that the Spirit of God will do the work, not of the letter of the law. But if he don't have the Holy Spirit don't have the word of God with which to work, he's absolutely helpless. Well, I'll read the scriptures. Ephesians 6 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That takes work. It takes work. And I'll encourage you. Don't depend too much on the gang. Don't depend too much on, well, John, actually, I'm a little ahead of most of the people that I know. Well, let me be the second to congratulate you. But is that far enough? You know? It doesn't take very much effort to move out in front. But is that all that God wants of you and me? Or does he want us to go completely out of sight? I like that one. And I pray this, and I pray this for my fellows. Isaiah, you pronounce that Isaiah. Isaiah 41:15. Behold, I'll make thee a new, sharp, threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small and make the hills as chaff. Fellowship with one of the fellows, I said, let me ask you a question. I don't mean to be checking up on anybody, but I want to encourage you. Anybody around that you could really give your life for, that you'd fall to the end of the earth? He thought a little bit and he said, yeah, there is, really. Yeah. Yeah. There's some people right here at Glenary. He said, yeah. Yeah. I'd follow. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Well, why can't we all be that person? Song of Solomon 3:8. They all hold swords, be an expert in war. Every man has his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. And just in case, gang, there's any sin bothering you, and I don't take for granted because you're at Glen Eyrie that you're not being bothered by sin, put it away. It ain't worth it. Knock it off. Quit. Cease and desist. Don't fool around. Because you wake up 10 years, 15, 20 years weeping over that sin that you should have confessed. So if you're living at Glen Eyrie, see, the reason I say that, because sin started at Garden of Eden. And Garden of Eden nicer than this. So just in case there's any sin. And you say, well, what is sin, John? Read the Ten Commandments. That's close enough. Loving God, not lusting, not wanting something that isn't yours, not coveting, putting God first. I wonder if you got any questions. I got my preaching over now.
Hey, John.
Yes.
I've got one that's going out of sight business.
Yes.
You get so far ahead, you're out of sight. Well, how can you do this and still be somewhat of a reasonable pace setter? You're so out as far out of sight, nobody can even see where you are.
Yes, Enoch. Enoch was our example here. He went so far out of sight, the Lord said, man, I just come on home with me, man. You're closer to my house than I am. Yeah. Thank you, Larry. No, I don't mean out of sight in regard to being so heavenly minded, you know, earthly good. Quite the contrary. If you want to preach your message on leadership, get your towel and your soap and your pan and your bucket and water, get on your knees and start washing feet, and as you look up, you preach the leadership. After you're appointed chief honcho and you're president of this and that and a millionaire and living in house, don't you get up and say, now, children, we're all just one. He says, sure we are, you clown, you. Come on down here. Can't preach it up there. You got to preach it with a soap water in your hand, with a towel like Jesus. Right. So that's what I mean by being out of sight. You're going out of sight the way he went out of sight. Get to know him. 2 Corinthians 3. Beholding, we're changed. Put him first. The greatest challenge in the world, I think it's more challenge than David had, than David Cobbers had, rather, of fighting the lions. You know, one of his fellows fought a lion in a pit on a snowy day. And he didn't have to fight the crazy lion, because after all, it wasn't a pit. He's outside, so he got out there and killed it. And they did all kind of things. And I thought, used to think when I was younger, it'd be wonderful to, you know, to live with, be with David and fight like that. Boy, it'd be great. I maintain that the greatest fight is right here. The greatest fight is living the victorious life in Jesus Christ. I signed up for a theological school one day, at one time, and actually I went one day. And I remember the president of the school, this address to the freshmen of that year. He had fought in a World War I, and he had made a little expression about going over the top, and he had been in the trenches, he was a major, and he had led troops over the top, and it was almost suicide. And he said, young people, it's easier to do that. It's easier to fix bayonets and go over the top and face the enemy than it is to live victoriously day by day for Jesus. And I maintain that, and you maintain that too, don't you? Sure you do. Any other questions, quickly? And we go back to the salt mine. I mean, go back to the word. Mm-hmm. Any comments? Testimonies? Confessionals? Bob, thank you. Yes?
John, Isaiah 41:15 is the verse that Jack Griffin praised when you say.
Beautiful. Beautiful. An old Jack down in Australia. Boy, he's still a sharp threshing animal. Old Jack must be a bit over 60 now. Okay? Yes? Run that through again now.
Okay, what do you tell somebody when you're talking to them about massive amounts of scripture memory and they say it's mechanical or you can't meditate on it and all that?
Oh, I probably give them some stupid illustration about my Holden's mechanical, but I drive the crazy thing every day, you know. I don't toss it out because it's mechanical, you know. Holden is an automobile, you know, car, Chevy 2. You know, I could probably give them some bright illustration like that, you see. It won't hold water, actually. It won't hold water. If you don't want to memorize, fine. I got no problems there. But I'm talking to navigators that I hope want to know Jesus. That I hope want to be changed day by day. And I'm quoting scripture to tell you how to do it. But you have to apply it and depend upon the Holy Spirit of God to work. But you lollygag around and goof off your time, then you won't make it where you want to be. That's just the way it is. Amen.